The whole basis of this work through the Bible together is that if we're going to have full assurance of faith in a world of competing stories and ideas, if we're going to hold unswervingly to hope even though the world is in chaos, and if we're going to spur one another on to love and good deeds even though individualism is pushing us to be isolated and lonely, then we need a better story. And that is exactly what the Bible gives to us. A story that is still relevant, a story that's still contemporary, immediate, inviting, and ultimately a story that is life-changing if we will take the time to read it and give God the opportunity to speak to us through it. And so during this series, we've been addressing a series of questions. And the questions we've been asking in this series: what is the meaning of life, which was week one? How can I find freedom? What brings peace in the storms? Who is the source of love? How can we experience community? And where is our ultimate home? And through the 6 weeks of this series, those are the questions that we're going to be asking and using the Bible to try and answer them. And today, this is our question: what brings peace in the storms? Now, I'm guessing that if we took a quick survey of all of you here, then I'm sure almost all of us, if not all of us, have experienced some disruption at some time in our life. Something has happened that we either weren't expecting or that we certainly weren't hoping for that has disrupted what our life was going to be like, where we thought our life had been planned to. Perhaps it was the loss of a job that was very unexpected, and you loved doing this job, but suddenly you got the bit of paper that said you no longer have it. Maybe it was the breakup of a relationship that you thought would last forever. In fact, that is what you signed up for. Or the surprising death of someone who was very close to you. Or perhaps you took a financial hit that left you feeling very insecure. And all of these things, and many more things, give this sense of disruption in our life. If you like, a storm that suddenly arrives and blows in on us. Or maybe today you've not faced any of those, and yet there is this seemingly increasing storm in our world situation that creating in us uncertainty, maybe fear, perhaps doubt, and potentially disillusionment as well. Because when we look around us at all that is going on, we wonder, where is God in this story? It's threatening our stability. And it feels like our security is being taken away from us. And perhaps we begin to think, God, we deserve better than this. God, you've offered us something much more, and yet we cannot see it happening around us at this time. But that is why we've got this better story. The better story contained in these pages that we call the Bible, written for us over many, many centuries, that still has something so significant to tell us, even, perhaps especially, in the storms that we may face. The better story, of course, includes storms. The Bible story has the reality of storms coming so often into the lives of those who were even, we would hold up as being very special in God's story that he is writing. And for the Israelites, the storm that we're going to think about today is the exile that they had been taken into. Last week, James talked about the Exodus story, when they'd been released from centuries of captivity in Egypt, and suddenly they were free again, crossing the Red Sea, moving into this amazing promised land. This intense joy that they began to celebrate as God's people, thinking that this was now where the story ends. That's one song for you today, one line of a song anyway. And yet we know in their story they grumbled and complained continually because it wasn't quite what they expected. They kept missing the mark in their lives, falling short of how God saw them to be the people that he had intended for the future that he had planned. They failed to live lives that honored God's faithfulness, and this led them eventually into this place of exile. And exile is an ugly story. Disruptions never seem fair. They hurt, they cause pain, and yet God, even in that place, has something very special to say to us. And we have something very important to do for him, even in the place of exile. The better story tells us that there is mercy in the midst of an ugly story that we may be going through. Now, we reach about 600 BC, and I have to apologize that we've just erased 700 years of history, but we can't fit it all in a few weeks of the study. We've now moved from Exodus to this story that we're now in. We're missing out the judges, and we're missing out David and Solomon and everybody else in between. If you want to read the rest of the story, it's all in those pages. You can take time to read it for yourself. But we reach a time, 600 BC, where God's people are being forced from their homeland, this land that they had moved to, which was now being destroyed by their enemies, the walls of Jerusalem knocked down, the temple brought to its knees. And they were forcibly taken captive by the Babylonians to forced to live in a very different country, in a very different culture. As Peter remarked on this in his letter, feeling like aliens and strangers in a foreign country. This was the deepest and darkest time that you could imagine in the story of the people of Israel. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we read the story, the brief summary of all that had happened, and I'll leave you to have a read of that later today. You'll see what happened, why it happened, how it happened, and what God's intention was for the people who were there. But what does it feel like? What does it feel like to be in captivity? Well, as was mentioned in that spoken word episode there, Psalm 137 and verse 1 says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, Jerusalem. Then there on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks." It wasn't a very happy time, was it? Do you get a feeling? The cry of the people in exile, being forced into captivity. This was an honest expression of how they felt deep inside. Of course, Boney M. made those words very famous, didn't they? Do you remember? Yeah? We could sing it, but perhaps we won't today. But this was how they felt. This was the desperation of a people whose lives had been disrupted by this one thing that had happened. And how could God have allowed it to happen in the first place? There's a desperation. A desperation that life has taken the worst turn of all. Unimaginable to those people. The raw feelings of being in exile. The people's cries to a God that they believed was going to keep them successful and prosperous for the rest of their days. A feeling maybe you've had in your life when something has come that's disrupted you, when it feels like you too have been taken into exile, away from the good things that God has planned. And this is the challenge. The challenge of feeling isolated and alone in this journey. But right in the midst of it, God brings them reassurance. In the places of deepest challenge, even in the places we never feel we'll get out of, God still has something to say to us in this better story. Sorry, let me go back. God offers you peace in the storm. And as hard as it is to see in those moments, this is his offer to you. If you've got your Bibles, you'd like to turn to Jeremiah 29 or switch on the app and find it there. Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll pick up from verse 3 of this story. This is a letter sent to those in exile from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. I have carried you into exile." Verse 7. "I have carried you into exile." The intensity of this relationship that God still has with people who are far away. "I've carried you there. There's a reason why you're here, and I've carried you there. I've gone with you into that place. You're still not alone. There is still peace to find in that storm. When you've been stripped of everything that you've relied on, when everything has been uncovered and when it's been removed, when you've had to leave everything behind, it seems like you've got nothing left to give. Until you realize that what you actually have, even in the place of exile, is the most important thing of all. It's been there all the time, and yet somehow we've missed it. For too long, maybe, we've hidden behind our own personal successes or our own status or our own sufficiency until we don't have it anymore. And then we have a choice to make when that has all been stripped away. Do you carry on weeping by the rivers of Babylon, wanting terrible revenge on your enemies, to those who have done it to you? Or do you keep hold of God's promises and build your life on what he has given you in the first place? Do you remember Zion? Do you remember the times when he was with you, when he was for you, when he was revealing himself to you, when you had prosperity because of his presence? Do you remember those times? Jeremiah goes on in his letter, verse 10, Jeremiah 29. "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile." God says, "I know the plans I have for you. And whatever it looks like right now in your life, they are always good. They will always give you hope, and they will always give you a future if you seek me with all your heart." This is God's promise to all who are carried into exile. And we can choose to look back at all that has happened, but don't look back in anger, will you? Nostalgia may feel comfortable, but it is confining. It doesn't take account of what God still wants to do in your life. Oh, we remember Zion. We remember Jerusalem, how amazing it was. And it was amazing. But if we're continuing looking back at what was amazing, perhaps we're going to miss what God still wants to do. And I think this is the peace that God offers you in the storm, in that place of exile. It's still there for you to receive. Because God has a purpose through the storm as well, even in the place of exile, before you get back home. I mean, look at Daniel. Daniel was one of the exiles in the alien world of Babylon. He makes a clear decision to seek the prosperity of the city that he finds himself in. Now, in Judaism, they have this concept, tikkun olam. It's a concept in Judaism, and it refers to various forms of action intended to improve the world. It literally means to repair the world. So when you're in exile, the call is to repair the world where you find yourself. And that's exactly what Daniel did. God encourages exiles to accept the world that is, but work for a world that will be. Daniel refused to eat the food that had been offered to idols. He prayed 3 times a day, even when it was banned, and he got thrown into the lion's den for it. His challenge and our challenge in exile is to remain faithful to God and make a difference whatever the circumstances are that we face. To coin a football analogy, you can win even when you're away from home. God has a purpose in the storm. No matter how difficult it might feel, unfair and unjust it seems, there is still a purpose to come through it. And 70 years after being taken into exile in Babylon, the exiles went home again. But home was in ruins. It still felt like exile. You might remember our series on Nehemiah last year. The people were living in rubble, and Nehemiah went back and saw revival in the rubble, and the people caught the vision, and they started working to restore what was broken, and they got the walls built, they repaired the gates, they restored the peace of the city. They said, "We're not settling for the ruins here. We're not settling for the ruins that we see around us. We're working for renewal wherever we are." Because God has purpose beyond the storm, a purpose through the storms. And finally, to those in exile, God makes promises beyond the storms as well. There is something more that God wants to do. There's something more that he's going to do. The world is looking for a hero, isn't it? And next week, we'll see who is coming. The Messiah, the Prince of Peace, who fulfills the ultimate promise of God for us. But from his promise to Abraham way back in Genesis 12, when God's blessing was on him and he called Abraham to be a blessing, he called Abraham to begin to repair the world, even in exile, especially in exile, just as God intends, God still has purposes beyond the storms that we face. The story isn't finished. An exile looks like harsh punishment, but God's gentle and generous love reaches out once again. This is how God wants us to live in exile. Jeremiah 29, verse 7, it says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city, his shalom for all people." Peace, yes, and absence of war, yes, of course, that's what they wanted. But shalom is much more than that. It's about wholeness and healing and order and bringing that deep sense of peace to all those who are there. Order out of chaos, just at the beginning, a place of flourishing. And how does he want us to do that? He tells us to build, he tells us to plant, and he tells us to celebrate. He tells us to contribute something good to the world that we live in. Plant, build something good in your life. No matter what it feels like, no matter what is happening, contribute something good into the world. Build. He says plant. Find and appreciate sources of life and nurture them and sustain them until they flourish and grow. People around you, the workplace that you find yourself in, plant good things there and then celebrate it.
Be a people of joy in the midst of the exile that maybe you feel. Somewhere that there's a connection you can make with unexpected people in all those places and begin to celebrate is in it. Shalom comes by building and planting and celebrating. And this is so countercultural, isn't it? But this is the shalom that God wants to bring us. In the midst of all that is happening, building and planting and celebrating is God's call to his people still. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, you can read the story of when Israel first had to go to war and conscription had to be invoked among the people to ensure that they could build an army to protect themselves. But in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 5 to 7, there were exemptions from conscription. And do you know what those exemptions were? If people had just built a house, they were to go home and live in it. If people had just planted something, they were to go home and tend to it and nurture it. If people had just got married, they were exempt from conscription. Here's the echo of what God longs to bring. Not war, he longs to bring a people who will build and plant and celebrate. That's his call that echoes through the centuries. That we keep believing and trusting the promises not only in the storm, but beyond it as well. And when we get to the prophet Isaiah, as Isaiah looks towards the new heavens and the new earth, this is what Isaiah says in Isaiah 65, verse 21. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord. This Genesis 12 blessing continues right into the new heavens and the new earth among the people who are building and planting and celebrating in exile and beyond. Perhaps it feels like you're in a different country from the one that God intended. Perhaps it feels like our nation has drifted way away from God's principles and his plans for us. But we can build and we can plant and we can still celebrate. We can still seek the peace of the places that we live in and work in with the people that we are around. And even in exile, we see God's kingdom grow as he intended it until the very end and fulfillment of his plans. We live right here and right now. And these are the moments we've been given by a faithful God to make something beautiful while we are here. What has happened in your past that maybe has caused you to be distracted from God's plans and purposes and his promises for you? What's happening right now in your life that it feels like you're in exile? Maybe it feels like God has stripped everything away from you. But in doing that, he invites you to trust him and to continue to trust his plans and his promises for you, to find him in the storm, to know that he is still with you and you can trust him and that one day he will lead you back home as well. See, when in exile, we can choose to battle against it or we can choose to build shalom in it. In our own lives, in the lives of the people we meet, in our workplaces, whether colleagues, customers or clients, in our families and in our communities and in our church, exile is not the end of the story. It's just part of what God's plans and purposes are for the people who will trust him. So this morning, God offers you peace in the storm that you're facing. God will work out his purposes in that storm and through it. And God makes his promises to you that last way beyond the storms that you may be facing. That right now we can begin to live a better story. That the one who carried you as you went into the place of exile will carry you back into the place that he's prepared for you. He's been with you in the fire, in the floods, and in the fierce storms, and he will continue to be with you as you begin to build and plant and celebrate the new beginning, because we're here to stay and to honor him. A word for maybe one or two people here this morning. Perhaps this morning you're feeling exiled from faith today. You're still here in the room. You're still watching online. But maybe you feel exiled from the faith that you once had. Maybe you've drifted away from what was once burning inside you, with passion, with confidence in who God was. In Revelation chapter 2, the call to one of the churches was to remember your first love. And how you do that, it says, is to repent, to turn away from where you are now and to start walking in the direction that God is calling you to. So if you're feeling exiled from the faith you had, I urge you to let him carry you back to that place where you can trust him and find peace. Or maybe you feel exiled from the church, from God's people. It sort of happens over a long period of time. And sometimes we leave long before we physically leave a building. But I want to say to you today, and maybe you're watching at home today, you've just happened to switch on today. There's a welcome for you in the family of God, his people, his church, where we gather together to worship and to serve him and to be part of building this better story in the world we live in. Will you let God change your story? Will you let him write a new story, perhaps, in your life, a new story in our communities, in our workplaces, in our parks, across the garden fences, in our homes, with our families and friends? Because he has his peace to give you today, if you will just receive it, even in the storm. Let's pray together. Jeff and the team are going to come and help us with a song as we remember that even in the fearful times, God will hold us fast and keep carrying us in those places. Father, I pray that in these moments, we will allow you to carry us home, to bring us back to that place where you want us to be. And you will use us to build this better place with this better story that firstly comes into our hearts and then we get to share. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray, breathe your peace into our lives right now as we commit ourselves to trust you, to put ourselves in your hands. Pray for anyone here today who is right now going through the storm. May you come afresh into their lives today. Remind them of your love and of your promises. Pick them up, Lord Jesus, I pray. May they know your loving arms around them. Call us home through the power of your Spirit, I pray. Thank you, Lord.